Today, for me, will be one of the most unusual Christmas messages that I've given. And this will be about 43 years worth. This one's stirring a different way. And we'll start in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It'll be on the overheads for you. And we will start there. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. That's a signal or a mark of authenticity. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, of course, means God is with us. He is not distant. Jesus came to reveal that God is with us. So immediately we see that we have an edge against our adversaries. We have an edge against principalities and powers. We have an edge against the kingdom of darkness. God is with us. Now, in the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke the physician, who also traveled with the Apostle Paul, and also wrote the book of Acts. He writes in St. Luke, he writes about the birth of Christ Jesus. And he begins his book by detailing miraculous facts concerning Christ's birth. Having interviewed, we are told by historians, the key players or people in this particular event. He interviewed Mary at least two times that we know of. He interviewed all of the brothers and sisters of Christ, and he interviewed all of the disciples except for, of course, Judas Iscariot. He wants to write an orderly account, and he does. He includes in this account, he includes prophetic insight, he includes inspiration, he includes faith principles. He includes revelation that is absolutely incredible if we really stop and look at it. It is a revelation that is vital to our Christian lives, and it is vital to the life of the ecclesia, and it also prophesies into our times right now. The Christmas narrative was not meant to be just a nice story that we hear once a year. It was meant to explain the powerful creative abilities of Almighty God that can come to earth and change it. It can come and change the entire world. Understand, Luke's writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit means for this, he means for this to show how God can come from the spirit realm, enter the natural realm, and change everything. It was meant to explain how the master plan of the Godhead began to be implemented on the earth under Holy Spirit supervision and also with angel armies. The first couple of chapters of the book of Luke are filled with miracles that are spawned as the spirit realm begins to invade the natural realm. It is meant to explain that hell cannot stop any purpose of God coming onto the earth, and in fact, hell is overcome by that purpose. It is meant to explain that Lucifer and his kingdom has no clear idea whatsoever as to what the Godhead is up to. It is meant to show that hell's kingdom, while real, is inferior in every way, shape, and form to the kingdom of Almighty God. It is meant to reveal that the supernatural is supposed to happen in the natural realm. It's supposed to. It's meant to. It is the purpose of God for it to. This past week, as I was praying and I was asking the Holy Spirit after 43 years, like, I don't know what in the world I'm going to say about the Christmas message that I haven't said probably a couple of times at least. And I was praying and I said, Holy Spirit, what can I focus on? And I heard him so clearly say this, prophesy from Luke's writings on the birth of Jesus Christ. Prophesy it into your times. Well, that gave me pause. And I, of course, started meditating and searching out some things. Prophesy the Christmas story into your times. Declare what it prophesies. It is a now word for your times. And so I want to look at some principles today concerning Christ's birth, and then I want to declare them into our times right now. In the first chapter of Luke, he begins to explain that a time for a supernatural mega event planned by heaven, planned by the Godhead, had come to its appointed time. It had come to its fullness of time. Revelation would now accelerate as it springs forth into the earth realm. Enlightenment planned by the Godhead would now manifest on the earth. The planning was over. The prophetic promises that had been given for thousands of years up to this point had to be aligned, and they were. God's word had to be fulfilled to a T. The characters in the mega event had to be born and grow into their moment. And this had taken, it takes years of planning for that. The Godhead had had its final meetings. Their unity from eternity past would remain the same, but now there would be forever changes, because there would now be a shift in their kingdom's function, and that kingdom would now function in the earth realm in a way it never had before. There would be a shift in authority on the earth that would now take place. Others would now be defined as legal heirs, the heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And this had never, ever happened before. Equals, described as sons or daughters, would now rise in spiritual government authority. And they would now be invited to a relationship with the Godhead, to a personal relationship, in a family type of way. That, again, was new. It had never been done before. They were to be given free access to the throne room itself. Never happened before, brand new. How could that be? Because God's DNA being planted in their spirit. That's how it could be. By the miraculous and the instantaneous power burst of the Holy Spirit, sparking what would be termed as new birth. No one had ever heard of such a thing. It was brand new. Human minds were about to be blown. Demon minds were about to be blown. Things thought impossible with man would now be shown as possible with God. This would confound human reasonings, and it would confront false ideologies. The plan hid within God, the Godhead of itself, from the foundations of the world, was now accelerating onto earth. Lucifer and all of his demon rulers had no idea what they were in for. No doubt there were some panic sessions, panic meetings taking place in hell as demon scouts begin to report something's going on. We don't know what, but something big is beginning to happen. There's a lot of activity taking place in heaven. Angel princes from around the universe have been called in, and they don't know why they're being called in. We've been listening, eavesdropping. They don't seem to know what's happening. There's a Mideastern caravan of wise men from several nations, and they are on their way to Jerusalem because they have determined that this is the time for Messiah to be born. And other prophets are saying the same thing. There are people in the temple, and they're not leaving the temple because they're praying for Messiah right now. Lucifer, he must have had a sense of foreboding as he who had once served the Godhead in the throne room had to know. He had to know they would not let his rebellion stand. He had to know. He had to. They would not allow his pollution of mankind to stand without acting. Self-doubt must have entered the consciousness of Lucifer, though he would never admit it to his minions, too proud for that. So much so that he would have Herod kill all babies 2 years old and under in Bethlehem. Take no chance of this Christ child being born. Kill them all. He was panicking. The angels of heaven, the angel armies, they didn't know what was happening either. Though they had to know something was happening, the Godhead was just so engaged. All of that was about to change as Gabriel was called to the throne room. He comes into the throne room, the beautiful blue sapphire throne of God. The Almighty One is there, and he bows in the presence of God Himself, and he hears God say this: Gabriel, go to the earth. Go to a small village in the Galilee. Its name is Nazareth. You're going to find a young peasant girl there. We've been observing her and her pedigree. We've done so for some 15 years. Her name is Mary. She's a virgin who is engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, who is a descendant of King David. He's in David's lineage. Give her a message for me. And he gives Gabriel the message. And Gabriel leaves on his mission. He enters into the earth realm and he goes to the Galilee. And there he appeared one morning to Mary. She had no clue as to what was about to happen. Gabriel, this mighty angel prince who is in charge of messaging and communication for the kingdom of God, under Holy Spirit, says, "Hello, Mary. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women." Wow. I've often wondered what Mary must have felt. I mean, she did. When Gabriel came in, did she hear his wings swishing together? Did she see a flash of brilliant light? Was there an atmosphere change that often happens when angels come in to communicate a message? That often happens. Did she hear or see anything? We don't know, except that she was startled and a bit frightened. Who wouldn't be? As one of the mightiest angels in the universe is now right in front of her. Gabriel soothes her mind instantly, saying, "Don't be afraid. Everything is all right. Everything is fine. I'm Gabriel, and I came from the presence of the Lord. I just came from the throne room. Father God has a message for you. I hope you're beginning to sense the wonder and the majestic wonder of this event that is now unfolding on earth. Heaven's message is coming forth, voiced by Almighty God through Gabriel. The supernatural is now merging into the natural realm, and it almost seems seamless, like it's supposed to be. The Message Bible states it this way, Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty, beautiful inside and out. God be with you. She was thoroughly shaken, wondering what was behind a greeting like that. But the angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. If an angel can give an understatement, he just did. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever. No end ever to his kingdom. Not ever. It will continue to expand. Mary said to Gabriel, but how? I've never slept with a man. Gabriel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. And did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son, old as she is? Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. So Gabriel knew about Elizabeth, but evidently Mary did not know anything about this. And now she is invited to go spend time with Elizabeth. Amazingly, this young lady declares a confident faith at this point, saying to Gabriel, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me just exactly like you said, be it unto me according to your word. What incredible faith. There are few in all of the Bible that can display that kind of faith. God had chosen, and he had chosen well. This teenage girl embraces being used by God however he wants to use her. This teenage girl embraces a word from God that I want to use you to help change the entire world. Well, then Gabriel leaves. Now verse 39, Message Bible. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and traveled to a town in Judah in the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house, and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby in her womb leaped. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang out exuberantly. And we know that the baby inside of Elizabeth was who we call John the Baptist. She sang out exuberantly, you're so blessed among women, and the babe in your womb also blessed. And why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. Blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. Then we come to what is often called the Magnificat. Mary's Magnificat, or her prophetic song, which had to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this 15, 16-year-old girl, that was the common age of marriage in those days, this teenage girl was so filled with the Holy Spirit, she begins to decree and she begins to prophesy. She is the first one in the New Testament to give a prophetic declaration. She starts with praise, and then she moves into what Holy Spirit is saying to the earth. Verse 46, Mary says, I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. There's no God like him, in other words. And then she starts prophesying. She starts declaring the word of the Lord. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He has bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts, knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. She declares God did exactly what he said he would do. He never varied it. There was no shadow of turning. He never varied in any way, shape, or form, she says. And I am hearing the Holy Spirit say, I'm hearing him say he is going to do this again. We are moving into a very strategic mega event planned by the Godhead. It is now beginning on planet Earth in ways that we have thought about, prophesied, but have not really seen happening. A supernatural mega event is now being declared by the kingdom of God through Holy Spirit. Nothing like it ever before. There will not fail one word of his promise to you, to me, to this nation, to the world, to the true church, to the ecclesia. What he has promised, he is certainly going to do. Now, in many ways, our world today is in similar condition, got to look at context, similar condition to the events behind what Luke is describing. The world was in a chaotic mess, just like ours. Have you seen a bigger mess than what's on this planet right now? The government was a mess. Have you seen a bigger mess than what's going on in our government? The government was ungodly, and it was oppressive. The Romans were brutal. They were bullies. They disdained Christianity, and they demanded their laws be obeyed no matter what their God said. It make any difference what God said to them. You will obey us, or there are going to be severe consequences. Taxation was very high and was used to oppress the people, vex them. The IRS of those days, called tax collectors, were ruthless. They were unfair, collecting extra for personal gains and using the law to do so, using the fear of being put in debtor's prison if you didn't pay what they demanded. We will imprison, we'll put your children in debtor's prison, or we will put you in debtor's prison. Religion, it was Pharisaical, it was condemning, it was filled with man-made traditions, it was empty and it was void of power. It attempted to force man into submission by those rules. Submit or consequences like beatings or shunning or being removed from a family's inheritance, excommunicated if you believe in Jesus. It was laws, it was rules, it was legalistic bondage. The soul of the nation of Israel was suppressed. There was a shroud of hopelessness. Even the apostles talked about it. Dominated, of course, by an evil agenda. Sound familiar? We know the feeling. But God had been planning. God had been planning a mega event. He was planning for the possibility of massive change on earth. Government change, religious change, legislative change, social change, cultural change. Holy Spirit was coming to steward it, and he brought his angel armies with him. And that is what he says is going to happen again. Another supernatural mega event is planned. It was time for new things to be done on the earth. It was time for the kingship of Jesus to be introduced in a new way. It was time for a living, ever-expanding kingdom to be introduced in a new way. It was time for a new race of people to be introduced. It was time for church to be done in a new way. It was time for God to be with us and Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Holy Spirit's presence, His hovering, His overshadowing would now cause new things to spring forth. Seemingly impossible things would now happen. You can't get any more new than a virgin giving birth. It's about as new as it gets. Made possible by Holy Spirit's presence, overshadowing, hovering, and activating power over her. He birthed something in a teenage girl that would change a world. He birthed things in a younger generation that would change the world. All of the disciples were in their 20s or early 30s. Jesus himself was between the age of 28 to 33, somewhere through there, when his ministry was taking place on the earth. But he also birthed new things in the older generation as well. They were not left out of the event. Like Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were old and they couldn't have children. Elizabeth actually bore the name of barren one, barren woman. But no, the older generation was included in the mega event, and they began to produce in their old age. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, is born, prophesying a renewal is coming to the older generation to produce from the spirit realm in a new way, a new level. A supernatural, natural birth. It was a natural birth in John, but it was supernaturally planned. A supernatural, natural birth was prophesying. Supernatural renewal was coming to all my generations. It's an ageless event. What was happening? The world was being prepared for reformative change. Right in front of our eyes, we see in the scripture something that we should have noticed long ago. It was being prepared for reformative change. I remember a couple of years ago, actually during the Reset conference that the Appeal to Heaven Dutchess Ministry had here, I remember two people coming up and giving me bags of change, coins. And they wanted me to give these bags of change to Dutch. And so I did, asking him, what's this about? And he said, well, people have been coming up to me, just handing me bags or sacks of coins, change. And he said one time, this lady came up and gave him a bag of change, and Prophet Chuck Pierce was there when she did. And Dutch said, "Chuck, what's this about?" He looked at it and said, "Change is coming." That's what I'm hearing in the spirit realm. Change is coming. Change is in the air. Just like it was 2,000 years ago, though the world was in chaos, God is planning change. God is planning revival. God is planning awakening. God is planning reformation. Change is coming. Holy Spirit is leading, and He's birthing some brand new things, things that will panic hell again. This next year, you're going to see massive change begin to take place all over this world. Changes will happen and accelerate all this next year, and they're not going to stop. I hear the Spirit of the Lord prophesying concerning this passage of Scripture. I hear Him plainly today. Listen to what He's saying. Hear the wind words of Holy Spirit penetrating your times and activating power to shift a nation. For you have come to an appointed time, says the Lord of hosts. Another supernatural mega event has been planned by heaven for you. It is accelerating into the earth realm. Lucifer, his kingdom, and rulers of darkness will not stop it. You will see my kingship manifest upon the earth in new ways. New levels of reigning power will now reach into the governments of nations. Dictators, oligarchs, hierarchies, and family dynasties that run with the camp of Beelzebub. Those who run on demon errands will be confronted and stopped by my power rising exponentially in new places, in new ways, and through new and renewed sons and daughters of all generations. For I am releasing new mantles. I'm releasing new mantles for new times. New anointings reserved for this era is now being poured from heaven as my supply river flows from my throne through all ecclesias and into all of the earth, says the Lord. This new flow of Holy Spirit will cause the expansion of my kingdom in ways and in displays that have never been seen before. Indeed, says the Lord, the minds of man captured and bound by reason will be blown, for it will be seen. I cannot be confined by reason. I cannot be confined by science. I cannot be confined by man's laws. I cannot be confined by man's wisdom. I cannot be confined by the language of fools. I cannot be confined by your capitals. I cannot be confined by your Congress. I cannot be confined by your parliaments. I cannot be confined by your religions. Not of earth or universe can confine me. I will break out against all confinement. The shattering of confinement has begun, says the Lord. Yes, indeed, I have a surprise for you. I have a new event planned for you. I have a new Pentecost planned for you. My ecclesia will see the breaking off of confinement and function in new anointings of Holy Spirit. For yes, I have remembered my word through the prophet Joel. It is a part of my supernatural mega event. I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh, the young and the old together. I have given visions to my young men by the multiplied thousands. They will now run with me, sounding forth awakening. I have put my prophetic words in the heart of my handmaidens, like Mary. They are highly favored and will prophesy. Prophetic declarations have been put in their heart by my Holy Spirit. They will speak my words into the nations. The babes, the teens, the males, the female will participate in my outpourings. My older seasoned generations are being dreamed again, says the Lord. I am giving them new dreams and I am activating their old dreams. I am anointing their dreams to break forth from confinement. Those called barren will now produce, says the Lord of hosts. My Zacharias and Elizabeth will give birth to their dreams. They will sing with exuberance. Holy Spirit's hovering, flowing, overshadowing presence will now birth new things. Yes, they will spring forth. The presentation of my ecclesia will now manifest in ways never seen before. Church will be done in new ways as Holy Spirit blends the new with the renewed and activates the gospel of my kingdom, confirmed with power signs heaven will provide. It will be a message confirmed with creative miracles, a message assisted by my kingdom's angel armies. Angelic visitations will increase as I release my messengers with destiny messages. Revelation, understanding, and enlightenment will accelerate in my sons and daughters as my DNA will be revealed inside of them. My mind will be revealed in them as Holy Spirit guides and provides. I will do exactly what I promised. Through my ecclesia, I will fulfill my prophetic unction from my handmaiden in the Galilee. Mercy will flow in wave after wave. New births, new birthings. I will bear my arm and show my strength to this world. I will scatter the bluffing braggarts. I will knock tyrants off their high horses. I will pull victims out of the mud. I will sit the starving down to a banquet. I will remember and embrace my chosen ones, piling on favoring mercy, doing exactly what I told them I would do. I will be God with you. I will move more and more into the earth realm in manifest ways among my people, producing change all over the world. Change is coming. Singers and musicians, come. Karandala sabranda. Hallelujah, Lord. We receive, Lord, your prophetic utterance. We receive it among us. Be. We say what your handmaid said. Be it unto us exactly as you said. Be it unto us exactly, Lord, as you said, according to your word. Accelerate into this world. Do it here, God. Do it in this nation. Lord, we declare in Jesus' name, we are moving into a time that has been prepared by God, a supernatural mega event that will change this nation and it will change the entire world. And hell will not stop it. We move into it now. We say yes to it. We say what a teenage girl said, whatever you want, be it unto us. Hallelujah. Just stand with me, please. This birth, these pages talk about entering into a time when the spirit realm moves into the earth realm. And it declares it in such a way that it is supposed to be that way. This morning, the spirit realm is supposed to move in the natural realm. It's supposed to be seamless. God is with us. Miracles are supposed to happen. This morning as we worship, those of you that have needs, whatever they are, emotional, spiritual, come to the altars and let's let the spirit realm begin to move in the natural realm and begin to change things. Perhaps there's something in you that needs changed. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's disease, whatever it is, changes here. The supernatural realm can move among us. Perhaps you're here and you've never experienced a new birth. Why not come? Maybe you're a prodigal and you're in the room and you need Jesus to come and forgive you of the driftings and the backsliding. Are you born again? That's a miracle. You can encounter God today, right here. The supernatural realm can come right into your being. Old things do what? They change. Everything becomes new. We can't declare this without allowing the supernatural realm to come into the natural realm. Would your faith dare decree what this teenage girl decreed? Be it unto me. Do it, God. Do it in me. Save me. Give me a new birth. Change my life. Change my physical body that's sick or whatever it is. Change me. Move into the supernatural, from the supernatural into my natural realm. Come. If that's you today, you come. And if you need if you need new birth, just tell us when we come to you. We'll lead you and guide you in that prayer. But today is a day when the supernatural can move into, and this is a now word. This is for here on. The spirit realm moves further and further from now on, just like 2,000 years ago. It moves from now on into the natural realm in further manifestations of who the King is. Sora Dendla.